This episode of Arc Junkies is sponsored by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs, WeldDevils.com is your one-stop shop. WeldDevils.com, we are devils. From Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan, this is Arc Junkies. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 19 of Arc Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and it is good to be back. I'm shaking the dust and cobwebs off the mic, and we are kicking off 2018 with no better way than I can think of than talking to my buddy, the one Zim. We talk about his beginnings into welding, what he did before welding, why he was interested into getting into welding. Plus, we take a complete left turn and then get into aliens and conspiracy theories, and did Monopoly Guy ever really have a monocle? I don't know, but we're going to find out in this episode with the one Zim. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the one Zim. You're calling in from Virginia, correct?
I am, yeah.
All right. And have you always been a native of Virginia, or did you live somewhere else before that?
I have always been a native of Virginia. Unfortunately, I was born and raised in Lynchburg, Virginia.
All right. And now, how did you get into welding? Where did that all kind of start for you? Because what you're putting out on Instagram, man, I mean, your weaves are absolutely sick. You're a major positive force out there. You're a brother of mine in TIG unit. And, you know, how did you get into welding?
I've always had like two jobs since I was 16. So, just looking for work, I ended up going to a temp agency, and they had a position available in a place that did heating and cooling coils for like power plants and nuclear power plants and stuff like that. So,
right,
started out doing the assembly, you know, worked my way up from there. It took me about 6 months before I got hired on, probably another 3 or 4 months before they had a spot open in the welding department, which is what I told them I wanted to do when I went in the door.
And how old were you when all this went down?
Oh, shoot. Well, I'm 31 now. I've probably been welding for about 2 years.
Okay.
So I'd say it's probably about 3 or 4 years ago when I started there.
Okay. So, what did you do before you found all this? Because you said you were holding down two jobs. What were the other two jobs that you were working?
Well, I worked at Walmart for a while as a department manager.
Uh-huh.
And I was working at Buffalo Wild Wings as a line cook at the same time.
Oh, wow. I bet that got hectic, man. Everybody want their Parmesan garlic.
Yeah, that was pretty horrendous. I went through two Super Bowl Sundays there.
Oh, my God. I could imagine. That had to be as absolute pandemonium.
It was insane. Absolutely insane.
So, I mean,
I wouldn't trade it for the world, though.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's a major learning experience. Plus, there had to be at least some kind of perks, right? I mean, the Buffalo Wild Wing girls, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, there was definitely that, especially on Halloween. Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, I bet. So, I mean, you're working two jobs and you kind of had this push to get into something more. I mean, was it just the fact that you're like, I'm working too much with these two jobs, and was it just kind of taken away from your life, or did you really want to get into welding and metal fabrication?
Well, see, I didn't really know that I wanted to get into welding per se, but once I got into a trade position, you know, and I got to see the guys, you know, do back their welding and see some of the stuff they were putting out, it was very intriguing to me, and I definitely wanted to learn more about it. So, mm-hmm. You know, I showed interest. I put in the words to the right ears, you know, and when a spot finally opened up, they had what they did was a 10-week training course where I'd come in on the weekends on my own time, mm-hmm. but I would use their equipment and whatnot. And it was just 10 weekends. And then I was ASME qualified just to weld there in that particular building. So, and that's pretty much where I was. I mean, and now I've switched over to another place, working sheet metal, and it's okay. Yeah. But, I mean, that's where I started. That's where my roots were. It's where I learned everything. And I just took a lot of time and worked a lot of overtime, a lot of hood time, progressed there. And, the product is what you see now. I mean, a lot of the copper and brass that I post on is the stuff from there. You know, I've got a large backlog of stuff that I took pictures of.
So where can, I mean, you said you did the temp agency and you were there for kind of 6 months. And now a lot of guys, I know, especially myself, when I've gone through temp agencies, like before you get hired in, I mean, every day you clock in, you're just like, oh man, I don't know. There's always that looming cloud over your head. Or are they going to hire me in? Are they not going to hire me in? Did you kind of have that experience while you were a temp at the, at that place?
No, I was going to make them hire me one way or the other. They were going to hire me. They wanted me.
That's good.
I'm going to tell you. And if they didn't want me, I was going to make them want me anyway. You know, and that's just the kind of mindset that I go into a work with. You know, like any job that I do, even this job that I'm currently at, I'm not exactly particularly fond of sheet metal. But nobody really enjoys sheet metal once they've been working pipe for so long. But I mean, even they want me there, I think. So, I'm still trying to figure out whether I want to do that for a little while or not. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple other options that I'm looking at, you know. I also thought about joining up the pipe fitters union, you know. So, there's options out there. You know, you got to look for them. And you got to go in with the attitude, like, you're going to want me whether you want me or not.
You know, that's key right there is that attitude, because I know just from my experience and guys that I've worked with, you know, like there is that looming cloud when you're a temp. You know, you don't know if that company's going to hire you for sure or if they're going to can you at 29 days, you know, right before you get your real time in. And you're right. Yeah. You do got to have that attitude, that presence that you're going to get this job no matter what, no matter who says anything, you're going to make sure that you got that job. And if you didn't, you know for a fact that you put your best foot forward and that you tried your, you know, 100% best and put your best forward to get the job.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, one of my things is better every day. You got to be better today than you were yesterday.
That's it. So you said you're working, you were welding a lot of copper and brass. Now, did you start with just copper and brass, or did you go from steel first and then kind of work your way into that? Because those are pretty exotic metals.
Well, that's one of the things that we had tests on in that 10-week course. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, from the get-go, it was copper and brass. You had to pass your flux core flat plates. You had to pass the pipe flux core. And then you had to do your TIG, your steel, your mild steel on flat and pipe. And then you had to do your TIG on copper and brass, brass plates and copper and brass pipe. And all of them are tested on, you know, the appearance as well as they submerge it in water and air test. I think it was a 350 PSI.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're not just aesthetically tested. It's also pressure tested.
Oh, yeah. All of it was pressure tested. Everything was pressure tested there. Wow. Everything there is made to hold a certain amount of liquid, be put under a certain amount of pressure. And they would submerge fully the built coils underwater and run the pressure through it and look for bubbles, basically. Mm-hmm.
Now that, I mean, yeah. Like I said, man, like that's really kind of a blessing in disguise that you started with that right off the bat, because, you know, personally, I've been in this trade for 15 years and I've welded everything from armored steel to Invar steel, Inconel, aluminum. But as far as like brass or copper, you know, none of that has ever gone into my industry whatsoever. Now, I don't weld pipe. I'm heavily into aerospace and defense type welding. So that kind of stuff really doesn't come around too often. And it's always been one of those things. Like I'm kind of a cert whore, man. Like I really want those exotic metal certs just so I can say I have them and I've welded that and I have the experience doing that. So the fact that you kind of started off with that is really kind of a big feather in your hat.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely very helpful. I'm going to tell you, though, some of the first ones did not look so pretty. I'll be the first one to admit. They were a mess. Oh, man, some of it was very embarrassing.
So now that you've gone from...
I mean, you work through it.
Sorry, go ahead.
You work through the stuff, you know, and you're not going to start out, you know, making anything very pretty at all. So it just took time. It took a lot of time, a lot of 9-hour shifts, 10-hour shifts.
Yeah, just like everything, man, you really got to want it in order to be good at it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the prettier it gets, the more you want to do it. So
right. I mean, that's when you're laying it down. You're like, yes, I did that. I know I did that. That looks awesome. I'm going to do it again and again and again and again.
That's when I knew it was hooked.
So you've gone from pipe and brass to now you're saying you're doing sheet metal, which I assume you're, is it very thin sheet metal?
Oh yeah. It's all like 20, 22 gauge.
Wow.
Galvanized. It's not just galvanized. It's got some kind of primer mixed into it. So, because when they paint it, it's a mess. It's nasty.
Oh man. So why was the learning curve going from, you know, the thicker stuff with the brass and copper to now the super thin gauge steel that you're using or welding?
Well, the super thin gauge steel and stuff that we're welding is mostly MIG welding. So
really?
It's actually a lot of MIG. It's hardwire, you know, MIG, and it's backed by like dioxide, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. It's just a mess. But I mean, it's a lot of tack welding, really. I mean, you assemble these big ass ductwork pieces that go into, you know, like a basketball arena or something. You know,
Big
round, like, and they're just double walled, and they've got insulation inside of them, so you're burning through insulation. And if God help you, if you pop a hole and your insulation catches on fire, then your whole piece gets hot.
Oh,
it's really
man.
Weird. It's a super big change, but I've adjusted pretty well. I don't know if I'm going to stay there. I don't know if I'm going to be there for a long time. I may or may not. I mean, they want me to join the union there, so I don't know. Anything's an option. I mean, there's work around, you know, and as long as it has to do with welding two pieces of metal together, I'm in on it, you know?
Right. Now your handle on Instagram is The One Zim. Now I'm really curious on what inspired that, because personally for me, I'm a huge Nicktoons fan. I'm just a huge cartoon fan, period. And Invader Zim is one of my absolute favorite shows of all time. Now, is there any correlation between Invader Zim and The One Zim?
I'd say to a certain percentage there is. I'm the guy into aliens. So, Zim, when that came out, I was pretty stoked because, my last name is Zimmerman.
Right.
So, I thought that was awesome. So I totally went out and bought a hoodie. I was a big Invader Zim fan. You know, so, but, I figured, you know, I'm going to keep it as more geared to my name as I can. I also have a home business that I run, doing little bits of art and whatnot here for a small store up the road. So I've got that as a business name. So I just used that as my Instagram handle. It's got my name. It's got a little bit of alien to it. Mm-hmm. Run with that.
I mean, that is one of the, that's a cartoon, man, that's really geared towards kids, but also adults, man. Cause I watch it now and I'm like, this is some pretty dark stuff that they would have on the Cartoon Network at like kid watching hours. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, that would never go today.
Nobody
would never let that happen.
Not at all. But it's interesting that you bring up the alien stuff, because I know, I mean, even your logo is aliens. It's The One Zim. It's all very, very relative. And all of your posts, you know, they really have that same relativity of outer space and aliens. So where did the interest in like the extraterrestrial stuff kind of start for you that would influence your online presence so much?
I've always been drawn to the supernatural and the extraterrestrial, spiritual realms, all these things I've always been into. It's been a thing for as far back as I can remember. One of those stupid documentaries that would come on TV with the people's grainy footage of some kind of crap they seen flying in the sky. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and you'd have the X-Files. I loved that kind of stuff. When I was growing up, I would flock to the TV
so
the second
awesome.
I heard that. Yeah, anytime I heard the X-Files music, I was in front of the TV, man. Somebody give me a Coke.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be right here for an hour.
Hell yeah. No, I totally agree, man. X-Files was Game of Thrones huge back in the day when it came out.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, I was absolutely right there with you watching it. I was all in.
I love that kind of stuff. So that's just something that's been with me for a long, long time. You know, I've just always had that interest, and I like to learn things, mm-hmm. you know, where other people just kind of see something when somebody presents them with information. They're like, oh yeah, I believe or I don't. I like to go a little further and see whether I think that's true or not. You know, I like dive into the background noise, you know?
Well, now, I mean, you know, everybody kind of thought people that believed in UFOs were just crazy cuckoo people. But, I mean, the military has even recently come out saying that, hey, you know, actually, this is pretty true. The UFOs are out there. We've spent millions of dollars researching them and getting into them. And now, you know, it's not so crazy because there are so many of these things coming and so much sightings from people that it's you can't deny the fact that there is such a massive possibility that we are not alone in the universe. And even so much in the fact that, you know, with the ancient alien theories and things of that sort being incorporated into, you know, metalwork and forging, you know, you go far back as even Greek mythology with Mephistos, who was, you know, he was the Greek god that made everything, every weapon for all of the gods. And he's the one that is supposed to have or supposedly pass that knowledge to humans in order and how to forge metal and you know, from there. And if without that, we wouldn't even have welding. So, I mean, you could go as far as you want with that. Oh, yeah, he was an alien.
He was absolutely an alien. Absolutely. And if he wasn't, he knew one.
I'm just saying that there's got to be some kind of truth there. If all of these civilizations all over the place have roughly the same type of theory, if you will, because we can't exactly prove it yet, but I mean, they're all saying the same thing. Just it's just a little different. But basically, what they're saying is that the forging of metal and that kind of artwork was handed down to us from an extraterrestrial source.
You know, it has to be. It has to be. I mean, how would you think the pyramids, you know, even came about? I mean, each one of those blocks weighs what, tons, several hundred tons.
Yeah, I think it's like
block.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like 600 tons.
How many
each?
High? Yeah. I really don't want to mess with the guy that carried that all the way up to the top, you know?
Right. You got a bunch of WWE sized dudes working, carrying all the blocks up. I don't see, even today, they're saying, you know, we can't recreate the craftsmanship of the ancient Egyptians or the ancient Sumerians even or the stuff in Latin America that, you know, it's just so absolutely precise that even with today's technology and all of the information we have on building things, we can only come close, but we still can't get it into the preciseness that those or the precision that those guys did back then.
I mean, how arrogant of a people would we be to say that this entire universe, as vast and huge as it absolutely no, we know it is. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones here.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm on your team with that one. There's no way. I love to let my imagination go.
I don't even really
go.
Need any proof. that's the only real reason. I mean, you know, aside from all the extra proof, that's just whipping on the top of the cake.
Right. And I mean, what do they say? I believe from I'm trying to like go back into my brain here that you can't even fit a piece of paper between the blocks on the Great Pyramids. They're so perfectly cut, and that's how many thousands of years old at this point, and it's still that way. And they're still finding new things and new things and new things about how they were built. And there's all these theories about how they were built, and it's like, yeah, but I don't see it being able to be done by humans without some sort of outside help. Wherever it may come from, there was some sort of help in order to make that work.
There's no possible way. There just wouldn't have been a way for us to do it back then.
Right. And even going on beyond the pyramids, I believe it's, I could be wrong, so don't quote me, but I believe it's Chichen Itza in Peru that has those like these square blocks that all interconnect with each other. And, you know,
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean that Stonehenge is another one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who in the world put that up there? You know?
And didn't they just recently discover that the heads are just like part of a giant body that's underneath the ground?
Oh, in Chile. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they call Moai? The Moai in Chile.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's an entire body underneath there. And you know, I somehow always suspected there was.
It just kind of made sense, right? There's like, why are all these heads up there?
I mean, why would you just put heads there? Yeah. Hey, look at those heads over there, you know? Like, right. Where's the rest of them?
Right. No, I agree, man. Like, and the more that they, you know, I want to say that even Aliens vs. Predator was heavily influenced by this pyramid that they found. I think it was in South America where they were doing some kind of research or something, and they activated something that set off. Hey, like there's these three pyramids in the jungle in this part of the world that are exactly on the other side of where Egypt is, and the Great Pyramids are over there. I mean, you could draw a direct line through the planet Earth from these set of pyramids to those set of pyramids. And the fact that they...
That is some kind of coincidence.
Yeah, that's some kind of coincidence, man. And like I'm saying, like the craftsmanship follows. It goes from one point of the Earth to the other point of the Earth. So these ancient people, either they were not as dumb as we think they were, or they absolutely had some outside help. So I'm totally with you on the alien thing. But you even go further than that, because you're even, you know, you're looking into more of the modern stuff that's actually happening. So I want to pick your brain on some of the modern stuff that's happening.
All right.
With the latest, with the government saying that, hey, you know, we acknowledge UFOs and we acknowledge the existence of these things. I mean, where does a guy like the one Zim, where does your brain go when you finally get confirmation from the U.S. government that this is out there, this is happening? I mean, what kind of things are you starting to research now that are tingling your brain?
Well, as far as this recent coming out of the Pentagon, I honestly, a guy like me, I don't particularly care what the United States government has to say, honestly. Mm-hmm. I hope they're listening to me, and I know they are, too.
They're talking about aliens.
They have done nothing except for to confirm to the people that they've been lying to us the whole time. And now they're going to just basically assume that we're going to believe whatever bullshit story that they come up with, to go along with that about what they found, how much money they've spent, how long it's been going on for, you know, this, what they call the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. You know, it just says to me, hey, so we're going to come ahead and come on out with it. The European governments have come out, what was it, in 2001 with the Disclosure Project. Have you ever heard that?
No.
It's like 20 military, government, corporate, scientific people have come to D.C. and they had a whole conference about it. There's a documentary. It's called Unacknowledged by Dr. Stephen Greer. You can watch that documentary. I've actually watched a couple of times in the past week. It's really, it's pretty hard, hardcore if you're looking for something to get into about aliens and whatnot. This is 20 different countries coming together saying, hey, this is what we collected. And this was in 2001 when it happened, you know. And now our government is just going to come in 2017 at the very end of the year and say, okay, we're with those guys, you know.
A lot of it too, man. Like I was saying before, you know, with everybody thinking that people that believed in this kind of thing and supported this kind of thing were crazy. Even now, so you have, you know, there is them ones out there that were making things up. You know, a lot of people out there were making things up, making stories up, for more or less monetary gain. I mean, you got guys like David Icke, who's the shape shifting lizard guy, who thinks that all of the people, it's basically like the world is like they live. Except they're shape-shifting lizards, and that can even go into like the hollow earth theory where these people live. And, you know, I mean, yeah, if you really want to get into that kind of stuff, every conspiracy has just enough truth to make it believable but unprovable. And that's really what makes a good conspiracy, because it's intriguing and it's like, oh, well, hey, I can connect these dots, but we just can't prove them. But in my own brain, I can connect them and make it absolutely true. So how does somebody with you know, like the U.S. government coming out and saying that, oh, this stuff's true, but these people are all crazy, as somebody that's, you know, a more or less a fan of ancient alien theory and or just alien belief period. It's like, where do we find, you know, how to or who to believe and who not to believe when the whole sea of everybody just seemed crazy? And the only real shred of proof we got was just this confirmation of what did you call it? The aviation threat? What is it?
The Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. One right. Hell of a name, ain't it?
Yeah. That's long. I mean, you know, it's absolutely crazy what's happening right now. And I think what's happening is a lot of, especially with backing the U.S. government, because there is this whole group of people out there that it's like, unless the government says it, it's not true. Or unless the government says it, it is true. Now I think it's opening a lot more people's eyes to looking into these things and opening their mind to the possibility that it's true. A lot of the stuff could be true, especially when it comes into welding.
A lot of people just shut it down.
Right. Especially when it comes into welding and blacksmithing and craftsmanship and where we learned irrigation and plumbing. And I mean, electricity is this whole other, you know, animal. We would have never figured that kind of stuff out without all of the previous processes and systems that we learned. You know, it's absolutely all connected in my mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for sure.
So it's
a big mess. It's a big mess of lies that they try to feed us, and they just expect us to believe it. And then while this is all going on, they're pushing a bunch of other propaganda bullshit in our face and trying to redirect our attention to something completely different and hope that we didn't just see the man behind the curtain.
Right. The great magician trick. Look over here, everybody. So now what else are you looking into right now? Because I noticed you were saying something about CERN, and I know we are totally getting off the fact of welding and everything else, but that's okay. This is the first show of the year, and you know this is about you. We are interviewing you and your interests outside of just what you do for your day job. That's part of the thing.
Well, let me tell you, as far as welding is concerned, I wouldn't mind getting me a job at CERN. That's a big paying piece of money right there.
Oh yeah,
let me tell you.
Hey, maybe this episode will reach somebody that actually works for NASA or CERN or somebody that's welding.
Yeah, if you're out there right now listening, let me get a job at CERN. I'll do a good job.
How crazy would that be
for a little while.
If you were working at one of those places and like just seeing an alien was your everyday part of your work? Like you clock in, you're all like, "Hey, George, hi, Steve, what's going on?"
I think that's probably a requirement of the job that you disclose that type of information up front.
Do you have a problem working with aliens? No, good, you're hired.
Do you have a problem with us creating black holes that we didn't ask your permission to do? Yeah, I kind of a little bit. Yeah, a little. Yeah. Well, CERN. I don't even know. How do I start with CERN? The European Organization for Nuclear Research.
Because mm-hmm. This stuff, I'm a newbie to all this. Like, I haven't even gone this far into it. So I'm 100% all ears to what you have to say.
This place is. This place is a mess. It's an international wreck. It's a huge government run by several different governments. Mm-hmm. It's military governed, because what they're doing is they're secretly just trying to make weapons, I believe. But it's a huge group of physicists and engineers. They're trying to probe the fundamental structure of what's the universe made out of, what's the glue that holds everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this huge tunnel, I mean miles, where they charge atoms up with lots of energy, and then they blast it towards each other at light speed, and they collide them, and when they hit, they are supposedly taking in information about how they react when they hit.
You're talking about a particle accelerator.
Basically, yeah. It's okay. Accelerator, yeah.
Basically like the real version of what's in the Flash.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I gotcha. I'm following.
And what they're doing is they're messing with life itself by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
When you collect antimatter, if you know anything about antimatter, it's a highly unstable substance. Just a small milligram of it could probably wipe out a whole country, mm-hmm. if it was left unattended or not taken care of properly.
Wow.
But basically, what they're doing is they're creating these little black holes, and they're trying to suck antimatter out through it. They're trying to use the multi-universe to their own advantage and make weapons or when you make a black hole, who knows what's going to come through the other side?
Right. We don't even know what's in there.
I don't think we don't know what's in there, first of all. And if we had a clue, would we have any kind of way to be prepared for it? You know, it's very important that people do understand it.
Right.
The things that they're trying to study, they don't have a clue what they're doing either.
No, I agree there.
they don't know.
We've just figured out how to not die by, throughout human history, we figured out things just because people have died, you know, and they're like, oh, all right, right. Don't do that. Go right. Oh, don't go right. Go left. We're going to go straight now. And, it's all just trial by error, really. And when you're messing with stuff like that, I don't know what other way you kind of do about it, without trial by error.
It doesn't take but one error.
Yeah.
You only get one error.
Right. One big
and
error.
And then nobody
and
else
oops.
Gets any chances for errors. You just ruined everybody's chances to mess up by messing up once yourself. You know, right. So it's kind of selfish, honestly. But, by doing all these things, they've done something. They've created this, what people have called the Mandela effect.
Uh-huh.
And it's called by the people that don't believe in it, false memory.
Okay.
So, and this might trip you out a little bit.
Okay, no, hey, I'm all ears.
Deep
I'm all
into
ears.
It. They've shifted millions of people's consciousness into a different state of another dimension. There's an unnumerable amount of dimensions, all side by side, and each one is slightly different than the one that you're currently in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just slightly, little changes. You know, you might not even notice such things. But what they've done is they've ripped a hole in the dimension. The entire fabric of time has been shifted slightly, and small things have changed now. And for example, Mr. Monopoly,
huh?
Lots and lots and lots of people are out there right now thinking about Mr. Monopoly, and I'll bet you the picture that they have in their minds, he's wearing a monocle.
Yeah. Rich Uncle Penny bags.
Yeah. Go Google Mr. Monopoly. He doesn't have a monocle.
Oh, it's changed now.
He doesn't anymore.
Okay. But that could just be design change. I mean, they do change logos throughout time.
All right, that could be a design change. Go check out an original Monopoly box and see if he's got one on there.
All right,
he doesn't have one on there. He never apparently didn't ever have one.
He never had a monocle, not once, not never.
He's never had a monocle, not once.
Huh?
I remember him having one, and I know you do too.
I totally do. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't.
No kidding.
No kidding.
So we're going to base the entire fabric of time and space being shifted on Mr. Monopoly not having a monocle.
No. I've got more, and they get more serious each one. All right, check this out.
Yeah, let's go.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Everybody has seen Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes.
All right. When she talks to the mirror, she says, mirror, mirror on the wall, right?
Yeah. The queen does, right?
No, she doesn't say that. She says, magic mirror on the wall.
She doesn't say mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
No, it's magic mirror on the wall.
Oh, okay. Okay, and this is the original Snow White? This happened in the original Snow White?
I have a huge Disney VHS collection because I'm a nerd like that. And I have gone back and rewatched it, and she says magic mirror on the wall. It's like my movie in my home on my shelf was taken out and another version slid right in there.
Wow.
She never
says that. You just literally made every welder listening to this has lifted up their hood and went like, what? I'm going to check this out when I get home now, or check it out on their phone on lunch break or something. That's, I mean,
right, you're a Star Wars fan, right?
Yeah. Huge. Absolutely.
All right. The ultimate scene when Darth Vader is going to tell Luke Skywalker who he is.
Right.
What does he say?
He basically, says, you and I can rule the galaxy together, father and son. And Luke's like, Obi-Wan said, you killed my father. And he says, no, I am your father.
Oh, see, you've got that one. You're right. He says no. But a lot of people remember him saying, Luke, I am your father.
Oh, but it changed. He says, no, I am your father. That got changed.
He says no. Yeah, it doesn't say Luke, I am your father. It says, no, I am your father.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I'm gonna have to bounce that one off my buddy Jay Clark, who was on the Last Jedi episode, because he has an entire podcast that is I mean, the actual show is called An Elegant Weapon. So, I mean, that's from line from Star Wars. He's like, Obi-Wan's talking to Luke and he's like, it's an elegant weapon from a more civilized age, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that's what he bases it all off of. And it's very comic book related, but he's very Star Wars centric. So I'm going to have to ask him because he's got the knowledge on that one. But I mean,
ask him about C-3PO's golden leg and how it was silver for most of that one movie.
Okay.
Episode 3, I think.
Okay. I want to give that. Yes, you could dive into that right away and say like, oh, this is absolutely the way this is. Time has now shifted because of these little instances. But it could also just be like that game we played when we were in elementary, where the teacher said, tell the next person in line. We all went into a line and it's like, tell the next person in line that you're going to go to the store, buy milk, eggs, and bread. And by the end of the line, it's like, we're getting Oreos, bagels, and orange juice. You know what I mean? It all changes.
I mean, you could say that. I mean, except for it's a game with millions of people all having the exact same false memory.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I mean, you're making me think now, Zim. Like this, I'm gonna have to go through it. I'm gonna have to check out the Mr. Monopoly thing for sure. I'm gonna look that up almost immediately after I get done talking to you. And then the Star Wars thing. The only reason I know that he says no, I am your father, is because I watch that all the time. So I mean, unless I missed. You know, that he says, Luke, I am your father, which now that you're saying that, I am vaguely saying,
but they don't say it anymore.
And now it's no, I am your father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why can't anything
good happen? Like, oh, we don't have to pay income tax anymore, or something that, you know, we don't got to pay so much for insurance anymore. Why can't something change in our favor like that?
Oh, man, let me tell you. The taxes don't exist.
They don't exist.
There's no taxes. Galvanized metal was never created.
Yeah. Imagine that. That'd be a blessing in disguise. No more galvanized metal that you have to weld straight up. All right. Well, let's pull it back a little bit. Before I let you go, I want to get into, I want to talk about TIG unit, and I want to talk about, the positive force that TIG unit is and what it is, and to get more people, to get involved with TIG unit. So, I'm recently a new member of TIG unit, and, I want to talk to you about it and just kind of let the listeners know that TIG unit exists, what it is, and, that people need to be checking this out.
Oh yeah, TIG units. Basically, we're here to rep those welders that either just got on Instagram or never have had one, and then nobody really has a following behind them, you know. And they no real followers, no way to really get their photos out there because you know how the algorithm of Instagram works now.
Yep,
you have to have a crap ton of likes and comments on something for it to last in the feed for whatever. And we're here to show those welders to the world, you know, the ones who have awesome skill, and a passion backing it, that hey, these people are out there, go check them out. You know, they're not going to be the ones that are on wealth porn all the time. They're not going to be the ones that get shares. Shoot, and people might not even see the pictures ever. You know, they might have 3 or 4 likes on an awesome pic, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we're there for. You know, we want to show those awesome pics to people, the ones that people haven't seen yet.
Right. And I mean, that was really what drew me to it, too, is because there is... I mean, the Instagram community, especially the welding community, it's growing more and more and more every day. And just by going on your feed, I mean, as awesome as the content is that everybody puts out, it's the same people. And I think that, you know, with TIG unit and what we're doing is we are, you know, actively searching out the guys that are just using hashtags to try to get their name out there and put their name out there. And you're right. A lot of them is absolutely killer work. A lot of them have killer Instagram accounts. They really seem to know what they're doing, but they just don't have the audience. And that's where TIG Unit can kind of come in. It's like, hey, check these people out. Look at what they're doing. And that kind of stuff, man, it gets your name out there more as an actual welder. And more or less, I mean, that's even more job opportunities, because you have now a online portfolio of every single thing that you're doing. It shows your skill on every single post that you're doing. And TIG Unit highlights that.
Oh, shoot, it doesn't even just do that. I mean, it shows your personality as well. I mean, there's some of the crazy cats that we have on Instagram around nowadays, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some of the wild, craziest stuff, you know? Cool-ass people, man. Most of these cats are super awesome people. And they're funny, you know, creative. And that's a lot of talent sitting around on the Instagram world right now.
Right.
A lot. And when I remember when I was first starting my account, I don't know where I would be today, you know, if I hadn't had several Weld Devils reshares, you know.
Oh, absolutely, man.
I owe a lot of my first year was, you know, Weld Devils reshares. And I was stoked every single time, you know, you got this like, oh, snap, somebody shared my picture, you know.
Yep.
So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to recreate that, you know, and have another opportunity for whoever it might be.
Hey man, we're all Weld Devils here. I mean, Weld Devils and Arc Junkies have a relationship starting from episode number one, and even before then, you know, everything that Joe is doing at Weld Devils, it's very similar to TIG Unit, and the fact that, you know, we kind of all work together, you know, promoting the same thing. I mean, it's excellent, really, because I mean that's very West Coast based, and we've got guys all over the country now that are searching out these badass welders and getting them, you know, more and more noticed on Instagram. And that's really where the positive hub is, man. I mean, you got a couple of bad eggs here and there on Instagram, and honestly, they don't last. If you're promoting negativity in the Instagram welding community, all you're doing is just digging yourself a hole, and it's getting filled in behind you. Like, you're not going to gain anywhere, and nobody is going to want to touch you, you know. But the more positive that you put out there, I mean, it's almost like this extra world outside of our world, talking about the extraterrestrial. It is. It's almost like this extra world where you go and you don't have to worry about all of the problems that happen in the real world. You don't have to worry about racism, sexism, any of that kind of stuff. Everybody is equal at this point. And even if your skill isn't at the level that you see some of these guys just putting out amazing, amazing welds, will help you get there. And I'm not saying like that I am. I'm not one of the best welders at all out there. And I see, you know, guys that put that kind of work out there, that do these kind of techniques, like the, you know, walking the cup or welding aluminum or copper and bronze, like you were earlier, you know, asking questions like that really does help people, man. And it's really just, it's a positive / educational promotional tool that I think people really are starting to take advantage of, and more people are joining every single day.
Hey, you can't go wrong. You know, it's all love. It's all positivity. I can't tell you how much information I have gotten from folks on Instagram, put it to use, and bettered myself. And the learning curve was way less because of it.
Exactly. Exactly. I learned my tri-weave just from talking to Dabs Wellington, man. Honestly, just
I'm telling you what, he can do one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. that boy can lay it down. That's for damn sure. All right. With that said, I'm going to put a stop in this for this week. And Zim, thank you again, man. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show and getting into the wild conspiracies and the alien talk and talking welding. I mean, this was a lot of fun, and it was, I couldn't think of a better show to kick off 2018. So thank you for being a guest on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I was absolutely honored that you even asked me to, brother. And if you're ever in Virginia, anywhere near where I'm at, come on and grab a beer with me.
Hey, you know that, man. I love me some beer.
Heck yeah.
All right, man. Take care. You have a great one, and I'll talk to you next time.
I appreciate it, bud.